Ram, 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 हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की, गौर भक्त वृंद की, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की, श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन चंद्र श्री श्री गौरनता श्री श्री जगन्नाथ प्रसुप्त महाराणी श्री बालाजी की। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। पांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। अष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Hare Krishna. Let's read from Bhagavatam today, from the fifth canto, first chapter, text number 15. Is it?
Ishabhisrishtam hyavarundhat Havarun Mahenga Dukham Sukham Va Gunakarma Sangat Asthaya Tattat Yada Yungta Nathas Chakshushmatandha Ivaniyamanaha ईशाभिसृष्टं ह्यवरुन्महेङ्ग दुःखं सुखं वा गुणकर्मसङ्गात् आस्थाय तत् यदयुङ्क्तनाथः चक्षुष्मतान्धा इव नीयमानाः ईशाभिसृष्टं ह्यवरुन्महेङ्ग दुःखं सुखं वा गुणकर्मसङ्गात् ஆஸ்தாய தத்தத் யதயுங்க்தநாத சக்ஷுஷ்மதாந்தா இவ நீயமானாஹ. ஈஷ அபிசிருஷ்டம் கிரியேட்டட் ஆர் கிவன் பை த லார்ட். He certainly, Avarunmahe, we have to accept. Anga, my dear Priyavrata, Dukham, distress, Sukham, happiness, Va, or Gunakarma, with quality and work, Sangat, by association, Asthaya, being situated in, Tat, that condition, Yat, which body, Ayungta, He gave, Natah, the Supreme Lord, Chakshushmata, by a person having eyes, Andaha, blind men, Eva, like, Niyamanaha, being conducted, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. My dear Priyavrata, according to our association with different modes of material nature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives us our specific bodies and the happiness and distress we achieve. One must therefore remain situated as he is and be conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly as a blind man is led by a person who has eyes with which to see. So in the previous verse, it was said, a blind man leading the blind. That example was given previously, a couple of verses before. In the material world, if we are led by our own material desires, then we are like a blind man leading the blind. But if we are led by the will of the Supreme Lord, that is like a man with eyes leading a blind man. So that is the safest path. So one should not be driven by the three gunas. One should not be driven by the likes and dislikes. One should not be driven by the materialistic motivators. There are so many people in this world who induce one to make money and achieve material success. And one by their association may become spirited. So he says that Andayata Andaya, Prahlad Maharaj told about Hiranyakashipu. So one should not be led by a blind man who is ignoramus. On the contrary, the Supreme Lord is like a person with eyes and he is walking ahead and we have to follow behind him. Although we may be blind, by following him, the end result will be auspicious. That's what he is telling here. Purport. By material means, one cannot avoid the happiness and distress unique to his particular body. There are 8.4 million bodily forms, each destined to enjoy and suffer a certain amount of happiness and distress. This we cannot change, for the happiness and distress are ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in accordance with whose decision we have received our bodies. For example, you know, if one gets a body of a bull, then one has to work hard in a field. If one gets a body of a dog, then one has to be a person who safeguards the house, standing outside. Sometimes the dog may be beaten by a stone. In each body you will see there are difficulties. Like if somebody is a deer, somebody got a deer's body, deer may be chased by a cheetah or a tiger and be torn to pieces and eaten. So that is, you will find that in every body there are certain things that come with the particular body. Like if you agree to play a chess game, you have to move the pawn in a certain way. If you play a carom, you know, you have to play in a different way. In carom, you cannot take a coin and put in the hole like this. Yeah, very easy. It's more easy. No, you can't do that. Carom, when you are playing, you have to play in a different way. Chess, you have to play in a different way. Cricket, you are playing in a different way. So every game comes with its rules. Similarly, every body also comes with its specific rules. Like if some jiva is situated in a shudra body or in a vaishya body, kshatriya body, brahmana body, as soon as you are seated in a body of certain psychophysical nature and certain type of activity, guna and karma, then one is seated in that, So along with that sukha dukkha will come in that body, and one cannot run away from it. Exactly like a bull which is tied with the nose and is being taken from one place to another. He can't escape. So that's what he is saying. We are seated in a particular body. So, but there is one thing with us, which is in our hands. We can use our free will to serve the Supreme Lord, tolerating the pleasure and pain which will come in a particular type of body. Say, for example, due to our own karma bandhana, say I get a body with certain type of sickness, certain vyadhi in the body. Now the vyadhi causes pain in the body, and I have to take medicines, try to cure the vyadhi. But while doing that, I can endeavor to please the Supreme Lord by rendering some services. And if I do that, I will not have to take one more body. But if somebody does not make an effort to please the Lord, but one becomes completely preoccupied in mind about the disease, why this disease came, how I can put a full stop to it, you know, why God is so cruel, why things are not happening my way, why that fellow is so healthy, why I can't be healthy like him. In this way, people's minds become preoccupied with, you know, various question answers about how to become happy and how to avoid suffering. This is the game that most living entities get into. How to become happy and how to avoid misery. For example, you know, those people who ask, you know, when can I renounce the world? They are jnani type people. And devotee means he will ask, you know, Prabhu, please, can you please explain how I can increase my service to Krishna? How I can increase my love for Krishna? His Holiness Tamalakrishna Maharaj, Guru Kripa Prabhu Maharaj in those days, and Jayananda Prabhu, if you see the lives of these people, they were actually, Tamalakrishna Maharaj, Guru Kripa Maharaj, they were working with Kodak company in their early days. They were making money, but their heart was in the temple. Morning, evening, they'll be in the temple. Daytime, they have to do some job and earn money, bring and run the temple. And Jayananda Prabhu himself drove the car, taxi, and earned money to run the temple. Although physically their bodies were in company, they were always asking, how I can, you know, increase my love for Krishna, how I can improve my service to Krishna. That was their question. On the other hand, there are many people who have very good job, lot of money, house, bungalow, everything they have, they are asking, when can I renounce? Actually, they are more eye-centered about renunciation than making an effort to please Krishna, making an endeavor to please Krishna. So when you ask the question, can you please tell me ways how I can serve Guru and Krishna? That means you are Guru Krishna-centered. When you say, when can I renounce the material world? Why do I want to renounce? Because when I renounce the material world, then I will become very famous. Like in Prabhupada times, there was a long list of people wanting to go for sannyas. And Prabhupada was surprised. How did you make such a big list? So many fellows want sannyas. Because then Prabhupada told them, find out the motivation why they want to take sannyas. Because some people think that if you take sannyas, you know, you will have no authority. You will have more independence. You can travel from place to place. And Mahaprasad plate will be first brought to you. And so many people will bow down to you, respect you. You know, they will have great adoration for you. And many of the neophyte devotees in the early stages thought it is a very wonderful idea to be a sannyasi, so that position gives you all these facilities. So that means our renunciation is in the mode of passion. What is that mode of passion? Krishna says that, if you see, on one verse I will tell you, 18.8 Bhagavad Gita, he says, Dukkham ityeva yat karma kaya klesha bhayat yajet sa kritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyaga phalam labhet. He is saying that, Dukkham ityeva. Oh, you know, this is miserable. You know, being under an authority in a temple, rendering the services which they are giving me, so many people get behind me, you know. Or for example, rising early in the morning, oh, it's very painful to get up early and take a bath. Or some people think, oh, if you go to company and earn money, that is fruitive mentality, you know, you will get entangled. neither will he be a good brahmachari, nor will he go to the company, earn money and be responsible. He will be neither here nor there. So, similarly, doing a job in a factory, and so people like that may think sometimes that, I don't want the pain of, this kind of material work and everything. Similarly, then let me take sannyas, because sannyas has so many plus points, advantages I get. So he is seeing from whose point of view? He is seeing from his own point of view. He is thinking how I will be happy, I will get respect, I will be free from authority. Until one comes to the nishtha stage, steady state, in the stage of nishtha and beyond, one can take responsibility for his own life. Even if you don't put him under any authority, he will voluntarily be under Krishna's authority, Guru's authority and Vaishnava's authority, voluntarily. But prior to nishtha stage, one does not have authority, one will become a good for nothing fellow. He will become asar. And generally people who are not in nishtha, they are the ones who want freedom. So therefore, if somebody renounces the world with the idea of getting such freedom and enjoyment, then that renunciation is useless renunciation. Therefore, here in the beginning he says here, all of us, we are all put, the happiness and distress are ordained by the Supreme Lord. You cannot increase or reduce. Whatever is ordained in a particular body, we are very rigidly placed in a particular body. That we have to be aware. I am in a particular type of body, which comes with happiness and distress. Since we cannot avoid the plan of the Supreme Godhead, we must agree to be directed by Him. Just as a blind man is led by a person who has eyes, under any circumstances, if we remain in the condition allotted to us by the Supreme Lord and follow His instructions, we will become perfect. The main purpose of life is to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is such instructions that constitute one's religion or occupational duty. For example, a man who is getting married at the age of 25, 26 is told to take responsibility. Guru will be pleased if the man takes responsibility for his wife, for his mother, father. He goes to a job, makes money. Along with that, he practices Krishna consciousness. And Guru will be happy with such a person. And if somebody is already 60 he is not ready to, leave behind his grown-up sons and daughters and then come to temple and dedicate his time more. Rather, he is still caught up in his family responsibilities and factory responsibilities. Then Guru will not be happy with that. Because that is the time for detachment, renunciation. And then he can come and devote more time to Krishna. So one has to know what is Guru's will, Krishna's will, at a particular stage of life. So if one is, like he is saying here, that one has to fulfill the instructions according to one's occupational duty at a particular phase of life, stage of life. And the goal is to please Guru and Krishna. For example, if Guru says that by your renouncing your job and coming and joining me, I'll be happy. Like Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Sanatan to come and join him. Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Rai that you leave your job in South India as the governor of Madras and come and stay with me in Jagannath Puri. So that is what is pleasing to the Lord. So we live for pleasing Him. We are not living for renunciation. We are living for pleasing Him. This should be very clear. Why am I doing what I am doing? If I am, so the Lord wants me to renounce and come and join Him. So I will leave and go and join Him. And there are others, Lord told them, don't renounce now. You have some responsibility. Like He told Gopala Bhatta Goswami, you stay with your pure devotee parents and serve them. After they pass away, you can come and join me. Tapan Mishra, the Lord told him, your father is, Tapan Mishra's son, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Lord told him, stay with your father, don't marry, later on you can come and join me. So, some people, the Lord told them to get married, like one of the Ghosh brothers, Lord told them to get married when he saw him stalking the Haritaki. So, the Lord saw the nature of the people and he gave different instructions to different people. So if we claim that we are existing only for the Lord's pleasure, so then we have nothing to give and take with renunciation or married life or this or that. We just exist to please him. If he says this is the way you can please me, it makes it very simple for us. Actually, one should not bring one's own conception. For example, somebody is a brahmachari, but not a proper brahmachari. You know, the guru is coming to know that he is creating a lot of headache due to his enjoying mentality. You know, he is meddling with money, he is meddling with the opposite sex, he is making quarrels with many people. Then guru says, see, you are not well situated. Better you go out of the temple, do job, and then get married, and then responsibly run a family. So what this fellow does when he goes out, he is lazy to go to job. One day he goes, 4 days he doesn't go. You know, he got married and he produced 3-4 kids and he divorced the wife. So now neither did he did job well, and he, the only great service he did is producing 3-4 kids. And after that, divorcing the wife also. Now, who will take care of the kids? Who will take care of the wife? And if he doesn't do job, who will maintain him also? He is eating on father's money. So now, what is the problem of this person? He was selling this person. If I was in the temple, I would have been very good. You know, guru told me to marry. Actually, problem is not with guru. Problem is with his enjoying mentality. In his ashram, he has enjoying mentality, bhogavritti. When he goes out and marries, he has enjoying mentality. So problem is neither guru nor anybody else. Problem is our own ghost inside. The ghost is enjoying mentality. So he will never be responsible anywhere. He is destined to be solidly whipped and beaten up by the material nature. You see, that is because of his enjoying mentality. So therefore, if somebody talks about renunciation, first he should renounce this one. Once you renounce this enjoying mentality. And the easiest way we can renounce this bhogavritti, enjoying mentality, is to align with the order of the superior. And one should think that I am blind. I do not know what is good for me. But my superior, spiritual master, supreme lord, and their will should rule supreme. Because they know best. And whatever they say, I am like a blind man, they are like a person with eyes. Let them lead. Let them tell me what to do and I will just follow. If anybody adopts this mood, then life becomes very easy. Rather than adopting the enjoying mood and saying, here also it doesn't suit me, there also it doesn't suit me. You go from pillar to post, you are never, neither are you happy anywhere, nor will you make others happy anywhere. Therefore, he is saying this. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, Lord Krishna says, Sarva dharmān parityaja māmekam sharanam vraja. Give up all other engagements. Simply surrender unto me and follow me. This process of surrendering by following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not meant for any particular caste or creed. A Brahmana can surrender and so can a Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Everyone can adopt this process. As stated in this verse, Chakshish Matandha Ivaniyamanaha. One should follow the Lord the way a blind man follows a person who has eyes. If we follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead by following the directions he gives in the Vedas and Bhagavad Gita, our lives will be successful. Therefore, the Lord says, Man manabhav mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te prati jane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee and offer respects and obeisances unto me. Then you will certainly come back home to Godhead. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Bhagavad Gita 18.65. This instruction is meant for everyone. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. If anyone from any division of life surrenders to the Supreme Law, Personality of Godhead and follows his instructions, his life will be successful. The previous verse has given the analogy of bulls moving under the direction of the driver of a bullock cart. The bulls, being completely surrendered to the driver, remain wherever he wants to place them, eat whatever he wants them to eat. Similarly, being completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should not aspire for happiness or regret distress. We must be satisfied with the position allotted to us by the Lord. We should follow the path of devotional service and not be dissatisfied with happiness and distress he has given. It's a very important point here. So just try to picturize it in your mind. The bullock cart owner, farmer is taking the bullock cart. He is stopping the bull somewhere in a particular village. He is dismantling them from the bullock cart. He is giving them some grass to eat, some water to drink, and is putting them to rest for a while, making them sit down. Then after an hour, he also finishes his lunch and comes, get up now, board the cart again. Now let us go this way. The bull doesn't ask, why now you are going to the left side, why not right side? Why only after 1 hour, I would like to relax for 2 more hours. No. He has no opinion. He just cooperates with the farmer. So Prabhupada writes this example in Bhagavad Gita, one purport also. The devotee of the Lord is like a cow who is completely under the custody of the farmer. Whenever the farmer gives him something to eat, he eats, she eats. When he lets the cow free to go to the field, graze and come, she goes. When the farmer wants to tie her, he is ready to be tied. Similarly, a devotee of the Lord, when freedom is given, he doesn't misuse the freedom. In certain things, the freedom is not given, he accepts the restriction. And when the cow is given, one day the cow may be given nice fodder. Another day the cow may be told, today no fodder, today just drink water and eat some grass. Fodder has not come from the market, for 1 week you won't get. The cow doesn't raise a flag. Hamari maange pure karo. They don't go on a strike or something. They are ready, okay. 1 week only water and grass, they accept. So therefore Prabhupada gives the example of a cow in the Bhagavad Gita. One more example he gives in Bhagavad Gita. He says, the devotee of the Lord is like a well-oiled machine, he says. Well-oiled machine means, when you put oil in a machine nicely, very nicely it runs, very smoothly it runs, lubricated machine like that. On the other hand, the unsurrendered devotee is like a machine which produces a lot of heat. As soon as you start the machine, tremendous heat, friction is produced because of his enjoying mentality. There are people, you give them some service, they will create a lot of trouble for themselves and for others also. So it's like a machine which gets heated up. Like one time I saw in a mill, the atta pisna mill, no? They powder the wheat. So they have a huge machine. So after the flour was given, we were going, but still the mill was going on and on. So the father asked the son, why don't you switch off the mill? When the next customer comes, you can switch it on. He said, no. If you switch it off, then it doesn't get started very easily. It's a very difficult thing to get it started. Similarly, there are some devotees, they are like bulldozer devotees. You start them, they would run here, there, they would do a lot. They would say, Prabhuji, yesterday whole night I didn't sleep. Whole night I was working very hard. Prabhuji, last 1 week, my japa is baki still. And I have not read Prabhupada's books. I went here, I went there. I met this politician, I met that big fellow, this fellow. I did a lot of hard work. Okay, Prabhu, your hard work is good, but take care of your japa also. Take care of little reading also. Why are you keeping whole night awake? And then you tell him that, Prabhu, you have been doing this for 3 months. Come here now back. Sit down in the temple. Do some reading chanting. Prabhu, you are not happy with my service. Now I give up all my service now. Prabhu, your service is valuable. No, I don't want to talk anything. Just close down my service. You have stopped me. I am like the big machine. Machine. If you stop me, I am stopped. That's all. If you start me, I am started. Stop me, I am stopped. That's all. They are completely independent. Driven by their own passions. Passionate mindset. And I don't say they don't do much service. They do a lot of service. But according to their whim and fancies. Not according to Guru's desire. These kind of people are very difficult to handle. Think about it. How Prabhupada handled all over the world different types of devotees. Only Prabhupada can tell us. In this way, these people, just like sometimes you have a fan, it has the regulator, but you turn the regulator, but the speed of the fan is constant. It's a very high speed. You put in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, same speed. That means you cannot regulate the fan. Regulator is Ramke Vasta regulator. Similarly, some devotee's life cannot be regulated. The speed is decided by whom? By Guru or by the disciple? By the disciple himself only. He decides his speed. What he wants to do. Guru cannot regulate him. There is no regulator. So, therefore, here the point is made. If you are put in a particular body, like the bull, an example is given. Whatever happiness and distress is awarded by the master to you, accept it. Don't hanker for more happiness. Don't try to avoid the distress. Both one should avoid. For example, if services are given, don't cry with the nose, hey, too much service. And if happiness is given, say 2 gulab jamuns are given, why not 20 gulab jamuns? So, don't ask for more happiness and don't try to avoid the pain arising from whatever services are given. That means happiness, suffering, whatever quantity is given to you, just accept it. Plus, another thing that he said is align with the will of the Supreme Lord. Because he is a supreme well-wisher of all living beings. He knows what is best for everybody. And whatever, be satisfied in the position of happiness, distress, without trying to increase happiness and reduce suffering. Like one example I'll tell you. Say one devotee was told, see, these 4 devotees will be with you. And you go to that particular place. And then he asked Prabhuji, whom should I report? Oh, you are yourself the leader in that. You have 4 or 5 more people with you. You can do that. And then once in 3 months, once in 6 months, you can report to the TP, the temple president. Otherwise, that is your mini project which is coming up. You do it yourself. But then when he was about to start, within a week, this devotee was called and said, Prabhu, one another major project has come. So there we were looking for devotees, various people, and then finally everybody suggested your name also, that you could be in the as part of that mega project instead of being a mini project. Then he came, he asked, okay, tell me, what is that mega? Then he came to know that the mega project, there is another big leader, and this person will be assisting hand in that mega project, where there are 12 people like him. So the 12 people will assist a big man for the mega project, which will be a internationally famous service or something. So Guru told him that, you see, this is such a wonderful service for you. You know, it's internationally beneficial for all these contemplatives. So this fellow said, no, I am more happy with this mini project. Can you say why? Why he is more happy with this mini project? Because he has no direct authority much to report to, and he has more freedom. And he has some people to work under him. So he gets more happiness by being in that mini project. Whereas the need of the guru is the mega project, where 12 people are working and he is one of those 12 people. He may not have such importance there. Although he may not get importance, he can actually benefit the ISKCON's mission. So here comes the big question mark. Do you work for pleasing ISKCON's mission, Prabhupada's mission on a larger scale, for welfare, for the society? Or we are focused on our own name, fame, glory, our control, our freedom from authority, and my happiness. Now, if I go to the center, I will have my own room, I will have my computer, and I will have my people working under me, and I, mine. So you can easily compare these two situations. So if a guru says, I would prefer that you do this mega project, because that's what ISKCON world right now needs, if he says. If he says, no, Maharaj, first you gave me this one, my mind is already gone there. Last 1 week I put my head. Please see, this is the ideas I have made. You know, blueprint is already ready. I am just about to execute, and then now you are changing my direction to another mega project. Please, Maharaj, kindly change your mind. You know, please don't try to. If somebody says like that means one is not ready to align with the will of the Lord. So then this small mini project will not make him happy. He may go there because he is acting on his own, not under the will of Guru and Krishna. He is thinking he is going to be happy, and that is his own concoction. So he is not able to bend himself to greater will, supreme will. So now the question to this person is this: whom are you working for? For whose pleasure are you working in your spiritual life? For your own mental pleasure? Or for pleasing the spiritual desire of the Guru ultimate supreme will of Krishna and the larger body of ISKCON gurus and many many Mahatma devotees, and they are having some need on a larger scale. Are you working for that? For whose pleasure are you existing? You can ask this question. So therefore, we are very calculative in our life. Oh, in this I will get pleasure, in this I will not get pleasure. Here I can avoid the suffering. Sometimes the devotees ask, Prabhuji, please tell me 2-3 services. You know, like kabadi, kabadi, kabadi. You know, I will take that service which will have less suffering and more pleasure for me. So this is precisely what he is saying here, we should not do. Actually, we should leave it to Guru and Krishna, that if there is more pain, less pleasure for me. But in that, if there is more happiness for Guru and Krishna, then I am willing to do that, if that's what will make them happy. Which means, this is called Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam means self-surrender. I will not be a calculative person with respect to what will give pleasure to my mind and senses. Like you will see, Dhruva Maharaj was told not to fight the battle because he has already killed many yakshas. You know, his hands are itching. One yaksha killed my brother, I cannot leave. So now you have to leave it because the supreme will is I have to give up. It may be a little painful, but he gave it up. Many times when you are in a josh, great anger, you want to take action, you are told not to take, okay, give up. And Arjuna, he doesn't want to take the bow and arrow in the hand. Nayotsam iti Govinda uktva tushnim babuvaha. Bhavata says, he put the Gandivam, he put it down on the chariot, and he Shoka is saying he was sambigna manasaha. He became afflicted by grief, you know, putting his hand like this. Arjuna was sitting, not ready to fight. But Krishna is telling him the opposite to what Dhruva Maharaj was told. Dhruva was told to give up your bow and arrow, but he was holding, so finally he gave up. And Arjuna was told, you know, pick up the bow and arrow. At last he did. Karishye vachanam tava. So many times things may not happen according to our will and wish, but both of them aligned with the great supreme will, and by aligning with the will, the end result emerged very wonderful for both of them. Arjuna became glorious devotee. The whole world talks about Arjuna and Parthasarathi, Lord Krishna, and Dhruva Maharaj went back to Godhead peacefully because he aligned with supreme will. And those who did not align with superiors, like Vena Maharaj, for example, never listened to his father Anga, who was a personification of all good qualities. He never listened. He was destroyed. Hiranyakashipu never listened to the good suggestions and advice of Prahlad. So he was destroyed. He never aligned with Supreme Lord Vishnu's will. Now somebody may say, although somebody may not align with supreme will, by their own endeavor, they may flourish. For example, Hiranyakashipu, he didn't align with Lord Vishnu. He became independent. But by his own effort and tapasya, you know, he became a Triloka Adhipati. Is it not a great thing? Somebody may say. Okay, he became a Triloka Adhipati, you know, by rejecting Lord Vishnu and rejecting the Vedic literature and Vedic lifestyle. But during his rule, nobody was happy. He tortured the demigods. Also, he tortured Prahlad. He sent all the pious people to hell. He sent all the sinful people to heaven. He forced the Bhumi to give all the fruits and vegetables and grains and everything. He made all the demigods resign from their post and he took their control. In this way, his rule was a black rule. Nobody liked it. No living entities were happy. Okay, he may say that, okay, whether they were happy or not, I became the ruler, so was he happy? He was not happy either. You know, although he was drinking and sitting in the Indra's throne, considering himself happy, very soon his happiness was evaporated when he saw that his son Prahlad has become a follower of Vishnu. So he became extremely disturbed, and he disturbed Shandamaraka teachers, chastising them also, and he troubled all the living entities in the universe, and ultimately he displeased Lord Vishnu by his being anti-Brahminical culture man. So Hiranyakashipu, in this way, when a jiva wants to make his own desire most prominent, he becomes a source of trouble for all living beings, he becomes a source of trouble for himself, and he becomes a source of displeasure for the Supreme Lord. You can see that he cannot do any good to anybody. Although temporarily for a while he may have the power and he may have the, you know, wealth and power and position and influence for some time, simply to show off, that's all. So this matter should be made very clear that if anybody has an enjoying mentality, bhogavritti, they don't align with the Lord's will, and they try to make a kingdom independent of the Lord, that kingdom will not give happiness to anyone, neither to him nor to others, because that's an independent script, independent program. No one can be happy in that. And same thing you find, see Kartavirya Arjuna, for example, he had thousands of hands, such a mighty fellow, such a powerful fellow. But eventually you will see that when people get power, position, and they get, you know, influence, then their next natural tendency in the conditioned soul, in an impure stage, is to become proud and misuse it and exploit it. Like you will find he did many things. He stole the cow which was with Jamadagni, Kamadenu cow. Similarly, he also blocked the river and he was having Jalakrida with many women. You will see that. So you will find eventually he was destroyed. You will see that very many asuras have come and gone. Now we may say, Prabhu, I am not asura like that. I am a simple Vaishnava devotee. Okay. We may be simple devotee, but that mentality of, we call it a jiddi, we call it in Hindi, the stubbornness or the adamantness to fulfill our own desire, and not even make an effort to understand Guru's desire or Krishna's desire. That type of mentality is what, that impure mentality makes us suffer and makes others suffer. So, therefore he is saying that be happy. Whatever happiness and distress is given to you in a particular position in which you are put, just accept it. And always ask the question, how I can give pleasure to Guru and Krishna. That's what he is saying. We should follow the path of devotional service and not be dissatisfied with the happiness and distress he has given, Krishna has given. People in the material modes of passion and ignorance generally cannot understand the plan of the Supreme Lord with its 8.4 million forms of life. But the human form affords one the special privilege to understand this plan, engage in devotional service and elevate oneself to the highest position of perfection by following the Lord's instruction. This is the highest position of perfection. What is it? You know, let thy will be done. Inshallah. Karishye vachanam tava. This is the highest perfection in spiritual life. Your jiva completely gives everything up. He says, my dear Lord, I don't claim any ownership. I don't claim any proprietorship. I don't claim any controllership. I don't claim any enjoyership. Whatever happiness and distress you ordained for me, I will accept it. And whatever is your will, I will put my best efforts to align with it. So this is the highest stage of perfection. The entire world is working under the influence of the modes of material nature, especially ignorance and passion. But if people engage in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Lord, their lives can be successful and they can be elevated to the highest perfection. In the Brihadaranyaka Puran, therefore it is said, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyaiva 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 Gatiranyatha. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way for spiritual perfection than the holy name, holy name, holy name of the Lord. Everyone should be given the chance to hear the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for thus one will gradually come to understand his real position in life and be elevated to the transcendental position above the mode of goodness. Thus all impediments to his progress will be cut to pieces. In conclusion, therefore we must be satisfied in whatever position we have been put into by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we should try to engage ourselves in his devotional service. Then our lives will be successful. Now what happens? To the degree I don't align with the will of the Lord, to that degree chanting of Hare Krishna will be difficult for me. Very simple. The chanting of Hare Krishna can be like climbing a mountain. It can be very difficult. So what does exactly the chanting of Hare Krishna do? The chanting of Hare Krishna actually cleanses the heart when you are chanting. So in the cleansing process, a painful process, just like Kaliya Nartan, when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, Kaliya felt a great pain on his head. He was doing Tandava on Kaliya's head. He was removing the poison. Blood and poison came out of his mouth. So Krishna was humbling the snake. Similarly, the chanting of the holy name, repeated recitation of the holy name and hearing the holy name is a very painful process for a conditioned soul. Why? Because the conditioned soul is I, me, mind centered. I am great and my program is great. And these are all my plans. Now during the chanting we are told, wonderful plans are, now keep your plans aside. Just call the Lord's name and hear, which is very painful for a conditioned soul, very ahankari purush. It's very difficult. Therefore, the chanting goes very difficult for some. It becomes very challenging to some or other complete the 16 rounds. So, Prabhupada is giving us an assurance. Despite chanting being difficult, if we keep doing, the chanting will cleanse the heart. And gradually, the wrong script of, increasing my material happiness, putting a full stop to my material sufferings, and having my own will on what I want to do, what I have planned to do, this kind of independent mentality will go away. Actually, when one accepts the grihastha ashrama, Prabhupada says in many of his places that if somebody has a need for little more privacy, little more independence, and a little more freedom to go in spiritual life at his own pace, then the grihastha ashrama is prescribed. But when one accepts the grihastha ashrama, after going there, the little more freedom that one gets, once you do sadupayoga, good use of that. And little more space one gets, one can actually come to mode of goodness and study the scriptures and help the family members connect with Krishna. Then that mentality for little independence, that will get purified. Then actually they can advance as good as or even better than brahmacharis. There are many grihasthas who are very sincerely practicing. They are given a home, job, they have their own bank account, they have their own home, they have their wife and children, there is a little more breathing space, freedom, and they may be allowed to practice spiritual life the way they would like to practice. In brahmachari ashrama there is more restriction in the sense that you are supposed to do what you are told to do. In grihastha ashrama, you may say that, we will have mangalarati at 5 o'clock or 5:30, or morning we will only chant and evening we will do gaurarti, something like that. There is more freedom to take one's family ahead in spiritual life. But one should know that although the freedom is given, if one aligns with the will of Guru and Krishna, then that freedom will become rightly utilized and it will act as a purifier for a grihastha devotee. At the same time, a brahmachari who is in the temple is put many restrictions. If he doesn't see those restrictions as painful, or rather he sees those restrictions as purifiers, then a brahmachari can wonderfully advance. Therefore, I gave you the example of the bull. A bull is told to sit, told to stand, eat some grass, sometimes eat fodder. Whatever is provided, prasadam, some little accommodation, little service, one doesn't see from I, me, mine point of view. Like for example, when you are working in a company, many times you see from your career prospects or growth prospects when you are in a company. Sometimes even devotees become like that. Like you tell a devotee, Prabhu, can you please do pujari service? There is a great need for pujari service for 6 months or 1 year. And that person immediately thinks, hey, this fellow is pushing me into pujari service. I will do the background service. Tomorrow what will happen to my career as a brahmachari? I have to preach, I have to have my following, I have to have my people. So I will go and start some preaching and I will create my circle. Okay, do on your own. But you have lost the trust of your superiors. Because you didn't align with the need of the temple and you did your own thing. Tomorrow, although you may have your own small circle, that circle will remain with you. That's all. You never grow in life. But somebody may be a pujari for some years. If you see in Prabhupada's time also, there have been people who have been changed from one department to another as per the need. Today somebody may be, my spiritual master himself was a pujari in 1971 to 1973 to 79, he was a pujari. And now, after being so close to the deities and worshipping the Lord so closely with so much of putting the heart, when he came out, he came with a golden heart, and then he could do such wonderful preaching and make communities in many places. So, at that time, the need was, he had to be a pujari. He agreed for that. So, therefore, the sum and substance of Priyavrat's pastime is that Priyavrat is supposed to think like this: I am afraid of marriage based on what? I am having my considerations that it may entangle me, you know, and worldly encumbrances will increase. Oh, so you see from your convenience point of view? Or do you see from the Lord's will point of view? If ultimately, you are living for what? You are living for pleasing the Lord. If the Lord will be pleased by your taking the kingship and accepting the married life, that's the way Lord will be pleased, you do that. So this is the meaning of Vaishnava Siddhanta, that you know, your Vaishnava is ready to accept any position, be it low, be it high. Like for example, killing is inauspicious activity, but Arjuna accepted that activity because that was necessary for establishing dharma in Dharma Yuddha. So then it is no more inauspicious because it is Lord's will. Similarly, family life may be considered inauspicious by Priyavrata because it may be entangling, there is woman, children and all that. But it is no more inauspicious because it is Lord's will. Lord says, you can serve me best and please me best by being in this role. And here Brahmaji is telling him, you just align with the Lord's role, everything will come out well. Like I told you, I am telling somebody, be a pujari. He says, no, I'll be a preacher. Okay, you be a preacher, but it will not come out well, because you are acting out your own will. On the other hand, you align with the superior, you have won his heart, you have won his trust, you won his confidence. Tomorrow, he may trust you so much, he may give you a very big leadership position. Tomorrow, that you know, because you have won my trust, you know, although you have been a pujari now for some years, now come out, you can also do preaching, you take responsibility for this project. So, because you aligned with the superior's will. So, in the same manner it happened with Priyavrat. Priyavrat aligned with Lord's will. When he was about to get entangled, Lord saved him. Why? Why did he save him? Because you aligned with Lord's will. Therefore, actually Lord in a moment can evaporate the ocean of Maya. And can take you back to Godhead in one moment. On your own, if you say, no, my Lord, I will not align with your will. I will endeavor on my own. So, you keep struggling in the samsara only. There is no hope of getting out of it. So, therefore one should know, aligning with Lord's will is the greatest perfection of religious principles, as he says here, in all the religions, not only in Bhagavata Dharma. Every religion talks about it, whether it be Bible or Quran or Bhagavatam, all of them talk about it. So, it's something worthy, very important for us to think about and learn about. Why am I living in the temple? For whose pleasure am I living? What I should do? You know, should I bother about my happiness and distress or the happiness, you know, pleasure of Guru and Guru Parampara? One should think about it. So, it is worthy to think about it. Then we will give up our reservations on what I like. He said, Jananivas Prabhu said, the moment you say, I like, he said, you are no more an enunciate. He said, I like, I don't like. Finished, you are no more enunciation. He said, Shri Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.